Today wraps up the series that we have on stewardship. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, we'll get this thing underway. I promised you over the course of the last couple of weeks that not only we're going to wrap this up, but this was going to probably the most harsh lesson that I've given in a long time. And I was going to really yell at you. And I prayed to God that as I'm yelling, you guys will understand that I'm yelling out of love and not out of criticism, not out of condemnation. How many have ever had to yell at a kid? Okay. Sometimes it's hard to not yell at them in condemnation, isn't it? They just get you worked up and you want to kind of condemn them. But you know that you can't do that because that will tear them down. And that's not what God wants us to do as parents. He wants us to build them up. Well, God doesn't want to tear you down with this message. He wants to build you up. But he wants you to take it very, very seriously. And for the sake of time, instead of having everybody turn to these different portions of Scripture, what I'm going to ask is to divide these up and assign certain people. So let's see. Let's have Nick, because I know that he can get that voice out there. You'll take for me 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And Alexa, because you opened your mouth earlier today, you get 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 13. If you have the bulletin, you'll just be able to underline which ones I give you. And we'll share. Okay. And then everybody else will be with me in Matthew 25, and we may bounce over to Luke chapter 12 as we go here. Okay. So in Matthew 25, we're going to start in verse 14. I'm going to go down to verse 30, and just bear with me as I read these things. Are you ready? It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I sow not, where I have not sown. You gather, gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who had 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I've used this portion of Scripture before to discuss the simple things of using our abilities for God. And I thought this was the proper way to handle these scriptures. And I think it's able to be leveraged in that regard. But it flat out calls out the stewardship. You don't use words like account when you're just talking about doing good deeds. You use the word account when you're dealing with funds. Yes or no? Okay? And every servant had to give an account to the Lord. The Lord came to settle the accounts with his servants. You guys remember last week's sermon? Okay, we talked about there's two accounts. Well, there's two ways to be in your account. Three if you count the zero balance. You've got the red and you've got the black, right? Okay, and if you're a zero, we kind of counted that as blue last week. Well, none of us want to be in the red. All of us desire to be in the black, right? Okay. Most of us in our finances would actually be pretty happy with blue. Okay, let's just be honest about that. But we really, really desire to be in the black. And the Lord who gives these talents, gives this money. By the way, does everybody know how much a talent is worth? No, a denarius is a daily wage, and a year's wage would be 300 denarii, okay? A talent is worth 6,000 denarii. That's a lot, okay? Can you imagine your annual wage times 20? How many would be pretty happy if your annual wage got a 20 times bonus, right? So the servant that got five talents actually got 100 times an annual wage handed over to him. The Lord just poured it upon him. And he said, go do something with it. And what did he do? He doubled it. Okay? This other guy, he gets 40 times an annual wage. And he went out and he doubled it. The one guy that didn't get as much as everybody else, he gets a full 20 times an annual wage. Okay, he gets one full talent, 20 times an annual wage. And he got so afraid that he was going to screw it up that he hid it in the ground. How many of us handle our finances that way? Sometimes we're so afraid to do anything with our finances. We don't go out to invest. We don't go out to the banks. We just kind of bury it under the mattress, or we put it in a coffee can or anything of that nature. I used to actually have this fund. We had a jar on top of the fridge, and I know some of you probably still practice this, but at the end of the day, I'd take the change, and I'd just drop it in this thing, and that would be my gun fund. When I got enough in there, I'd go buy a gun. But I found something happened a lot when I did this change jar thing. I found that all of a sudden the car wasn't quite functioning correctly. You remember these days, honey? It was early on in their marriage, and you know, kids weren't quite as expensive as they are now. Okay. And we'd just dump these things in there, and I'd get a pretty good lump of money going, and I'd start searching out the gun I wanted. I think I'd like this one. Well, now the car needs a new alternator. The starter is going. The water pump has failed. All these different things would go. The washer and dryer would stop running properly. And mind you, this was the time before I was a preacher. This was the time before I was understanding the point of tithe and so on. But I did believe in Christ, and I did say that I followed after him. Just like this servant that has the one talents, he calls him Lord. And he calls upon his master, and he says, I know what your character is. Because of your character, I was afraid to do anything with what you handed over to me. And I wasn't putting it in the right positions. And the master, he didn't say, you know, I needed to double this thing. All he said was, you should have done something with it so I could have received what was mine plus a little extra, a little interest. At least take it to the bank and put it in a savings account. But you get like, what, 1.5% interest now? For an entire year, right? So you put $30 in the bank and, you know, over after a year you have $30 and 5 cents, you know, something like that. Any bankers in here, by the way? Real bankers, not loan officer people. Okay. Hi, honey. Real bankers, right? So God, he hands us an annual wage. Everybody in here has an annual wage. Okay? Minus those that are unemployed. And please don't misunderstand. You're going to benefit some out of this discussion as well. But I want you to remember that the Lord, He brings things into our lives that are oftentimes above and beyond what we have in an annual portion, just like He did for these servants. I also want you to recognize He gives to them as they have an ability. Some of you are kind of thinking, well, Lord, I could really use 100 times my annual salary right now. Notice what the guy that got 100 times did. He went out and he got 100 times more and he brought it back to the master. He didn't go frivolously. That was his ability. The guy that got 40 times, he went out and he got 40 times more and brought it back to the master because that was in his ability. The master must have knew there was something screwed up with the other guy because he only gave him one talent according to his ability. Now, it was his ability to be able to go out and double it. I have no qualms about that. God, the master, would not put that responsibility on somebody if they didn't have the talent to do it, didn't have the ability to do it. But just because he has the ability doesn't mean he has the drive. Doesn't mean he has the desire. Doesn't mean he has the want. And a lot of us will get these things put upon us by God, and He'll say, you know what, I have blessed you financially in this regard. I want you to go out and bless others with this responsibility that I've given you. I want you to go out and double it. Now, some of us are going, yeah, I'd love to be able to go and double my money. If I could double my money, I'd have already done it, right? How many are kind of thinking that right now? Pastor, show me how to double my money. That's not what I'm trying to actually teach you guys to do today. What I'm trying to help you understand is God divides things up and gives us responsibility over His stuff, over His money, so that we have an opportunity to go out and use the abilities He's given us and the resources that He's dropped upon us to do His work and to double it. Now, doubling it doesn't just mean that I bring it back to the master. What it means is I give to somebody and then they are also part of that group. I double it simply because now I have more people. Remember one of the early sermons on this series, we talked about the unjust steward who is being criticized by the other stewards in the area, and his master said, you know what, we need to settle up. And the guy said, and this is all in Luke chapter 12, the guy says, what am I going to do? The master is going to take away my stewardship. I can't go ditch digging. I just can't do that. I can't beg. I know what I do. I'll go out and I'll be the steward I'm supposed to be, and I'll take half of this guy's debt and just wipe it out. I'll take a quarter of this guy's debt and we'll just wipe that out. Because when he did that, and as you remember, we talked about how the greater riches would be given to them, everybody that he helped, the Bible actually said, when they come into their eternal life, they will welcome you in. Not when he gets kicked out of the stewardship, but when they come into their eternal life. So what he had done was he used the money to save souls, to bring people into God's kingdom so that they could take care of him in that final day. Do you guys remember that sermon? Okay. So when we double our talent, when we give out the money that God has given to us, we put it into action, we put it into the things that matter, we're actually putting it into other people. We're putting it into missionaries. We're putting it into the people that are in need on the street. We're putting it into people that God just has us bump into and says, you know what, I want you to give to this person. And that person receives it, and you give them that little nudge that says, God is the one that's making sure you got this. You're doubling. Because now it's not just you that's wrapped up in God's finances. It's you and the person you've just given to. Do you understand what I'm trying to talk about here? When God gives us these abilities, when God gives us these resources, He expects them to be used appropriately. And if we just bury our head and we don't recognize the need that is out there, God says you are a wicked and a slothful servant. Can you see where the harshness is going to come in now? Now, I'm not going to try and target any person in this room, Dennis, so you can breathe easy, okay? We all know Dennis is one of my favorite targets, okay? And I actually have two Dennises now. I got one on each side of the room. So no matter which direction I look, I can find one to pick on. This is actually pretty good. I like what you guys have done here. Okay. I don't know if this was on purpose or not, but I like it. Okay? I want you guys here all the time in no spots, because it's just going to work out really well for me. All right? Okay. But on a serious note, God has given you these resources in your bank account. And some of you are going, I don't have a whole lot of resources there. But remember all the things that we've learned up to this point on how to gain in those resources. We tithe on the increase, right? Okay? And the increase, you tithe 10%. That belongs to God. You bring that to God. No matter how much it is, you take a tenth of it and you give it back to God. That's what tithe means, is one tenth. And then you've got the offerings, which is on top of the tithes. And God blesses the offerings. And then, what do we have after that? Painful offerings. This is the gold and the silver and the precious stones on top of the tithe. Some call it extravagant offerings. And God continues to pour and pour onto those people that are doing these things and giving extravagantly. But the more important thing that he's trying to do is he's trying to get us to understand, I've given you an ability and I've given you a resource to make an impact in people's lives and to get them into the kingdom so that it is alive, not lost. And if you're not willing to do the work that I've set before you, you're not willing to use the resource properly, to dig a hole and hide it, you're not willing to take accountability for what abilities I've given you, I've got no use for you. I will cast you out into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the same term that is used when God talks about the children of Molech. Do you guys remember who Molech is? It's one of the Old Testament gods that the Israelites were going into the land of Canaan, and Canaan had all these different gods, Ashtaroth and Molech and so on. And Molech was one of the ones that God warned them about before they even got into the promised land. You will not let your children pass through the fire of Molech. What they did, they literally made this big fire, and they put a path through that fire, and they caused their children to walk into the fire to be burned up alive. And if they shed a tear over their children and the sacrifice, the parents were also cast into the fire. And God said, you won't do that. And because of that fire, there was the weeping. The children would be weeping on the way in, and the fire would get hotter and hotter as they approached. Can you imagine just how gross this sound is? Of children walking into a fire and feeling the heat upon their face more and more until they're finally consumed in that fire and burned alive. And they walked into it themselves. I have told you before, movies can do nothing that the Bible hasn't already done as far as graphic and as far as rotten things that have taken place. There's no horror show that can be shown. There's no action movie that can be any grander. Now, the difference is they didn't have firearms, cannons. But they still had stuff blow up. They knew how to use fire. They had catapults, all those great things. But the bottom line here is we have this scene where they're walking into that fire. And there is a lake of fire that is prepared for all of those that do not find themselves found written in the book of life. But Pastor, I believe in Jesus, and the Bible says, so long as I believe, I'll enter into the everlasting life. The Bible also says this, you will know who has a true profession by the works that they perform. Jesus himself says, I know my children, my children hear my voice, and they do as I command. There's another portion where it says, you call me Lord, why do you call me Lord, and don't do the things that I tell you to do? I have these things I've said. Why aren't you following me? If I'm really your Lord, guess what you're going to do? What the Lord commands. Everybody doing okay? I know this is harsh. Everybody all right? Okay, smile a little bit so I know that you're okay. Okay? Yeah, Nick, that was disturbing, Nick. Don't do that next time I ask for a smile, all right? I'm not sure I'm ever going to get that look out of my head. That was kind of weird. But anyways, the bottom line here is we need to know that we're Christ's, not just by saying it, but by working it. James himself, one of the brothers of Jesus, he gets in there, and how many have ever read the book of James? How many remember the words that he wrote? Faith without works is dead. Can you serve God in dead faith? No. You want to know why? Because he's a living God. He doesn't deal with death. He doesn't deal with dead faith. He's a living God. So if you're trying to work with God in the dead faith, guess what? You're only fooling yourself. Your ability is beyond what you're doing. God's already given you the resource. But again, Pastor, I don't have 20 times my annual salary to help people out with. Understand this. When you bring out the tithe, when you bring out the offering, and you bring it into God's storehouse, which is the local church, he opens up more for you to be able to do. That's where the talent starts to come into play. See, these guys were already stewards. These guys were already people that were part of taking care of the master's stuff. And he said, I'm going to give you some more because you've been stewards, according to the ability. Do you think the guy that got five talents was the guy that only did the tithing? Just did the bare minimum? Do you think that's the guy that got the five talents? Do you think the guy that got the five talents was the guy that just did the tithing and maybe a little bit of offering? Do you think the guy that got the five talents was the guy that did the tithing, the offering, and then the painful offering? That's where God put the ability. I've seen what you can do. I know what your ability is. So bam, here's five talents. Go out and do something good with it. And did the steward just do it to help himself? He went out there and gained the more to bring to the master. I see three divisions here. And I can't believe there's any coincidence that we have a five, a two, and a one. The five, we talked about the extravagant offerings. We have the two, which is probably the guy that did the tithing and then did offerings on top of it. Then we got the one, it's probably just the guy that did the tithing, just the bare minimum. By the way, those that aren't tithing, guess what? You're not in the story. You have no ability. And I think that's a scarier position to be in than the guy that had the one. And the guy that's doing the tithing, and the guy that's going to the Lord and calling him Lord, and he's not doing the work, but he's still putting in the tithe, and he's still going to church, and he's still trying to call on Jesus. And Jesus says, I know your heart. I know that I gave you an ability, and I gave you the resources, and you squandered them. You're going into the lake of fire because you weren't really my servant. You chose not to walk with me. You chose not to do what I told you to do. You chose not to be obedient to the master's call. Cast him into outer darkness. Here's the thing about the darkness. There's no light in darkness. Outer darkness, pitch black, no light. Jesus is the light. Yes or no? So it's complete separation between you and Christ. You know what the Bible calls the lake of fire? He calls this the second death. What that means is you're no longer with the life, which is eternal separation from God. Do you see how the two things correlate? Separation from Christ, separation from God. This is a very dangerous position to be in. Can you see why this one's harsh? Now, I'm not trying to scare any of you into pouring out money. That's not what the point of this is. What the point of this is to help you recognize, as stewards of God, you must be faithful. Nick, read me for your verses, please.
Let a man so account of us as of the ministries of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
God has made us stewards of many different things. But the bottom line of every steward is a steward must be faithful. Scripture. And that's what got this servant that got the one talent in the problems. He was not faithful. He was given the resources. God knew of his ability. And he said, no, I'm not going to be faithful. I'm going to squander this opportunity. And why? Because I know you're a hard man. I know that you reap where you don't sow. I know that there are things that go on that are beyond me, that the mysteries about you are too intense. I can't comprehend it. But I know that you're beyond what I am. So instead of trying to tick you off and losing what you gave me, I'm just going to hide it. And I'm not going to put the blessing forward, and I'm not going to help win souls with the things that you've given me. The will of God is very clear. It is God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes or no? And who does he use to bring those into repentance? The stewards. He uses us. But times get tough. Things get hard, and I have a difficult time even putting things where they belong. How can I possibly put things out there for God to be able to use? Alexa, are you ready? Please read for me those sections of scripture.
But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity amongst yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to other without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praised and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think is not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice.
Inasmuch, yeah.
Okay. As ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Thank you very much. Wonderful job, by the way. Okay. So in this passage of scripture that we read that in 1 Peter chapter 4, we see how Peter says, you know what? We have these abilities that God has given us. And as good stewards, we have to use these abilities to talk to other people and to bring people into God's kingdom. Can you see that clearly in this portion of scripture? And then directly after he's talking about that good stewardship portion, he says, don't think it any kind of weird thing that you suffer. Don't think it kind of weird that you're going through a tough time. Don't think it weird that when you're using these great gifts, these manifold gifts of God and bringing in the presence of God into other people's lives, that things are going to get rough. And things might even get a little bit scary. Peter says, don't even give that a consideration. Because it's going to happen. And it's going to try your faith to see if you'll keep on doing the master's work. It's a trying of your faith that demonstrates, you know what? I am not going to let fear take over me. I'm not going to let this thing hinder me. I'm going to do what God's called me to do, and I'm going to get the victory for my God, not for me, but for my God, because I have the ability because he's given it to me. Can you see that here in 1 Peter chapter 4? Can you see how clear the Bible is throughout Scripture? Between Jesus and Paul and Peter, all of them having the same understanding of stewardship, we must be faithful. And if we're not, we're not stewards at all. So, Christians. In this series, I've taught you why we're stewards. I kind of started with that to help us understand the reason that God gives us a stewardship is to save souls, is to get the kingdom full, and to keep people from getting lost. I gave you the nuts and bolts of tithing and offering, the principle of the first, the way things are supposed to be done, how to get those things accomplished. We talked about your accounting. We talked about your math for your budget, right? We talked about all these things. We talked about being responsible with the way we spend the money. And, you know, I've got all these name brand cereals in my kitchen. Can I get away with some off-brand stuff? Well, when I grew up, we actually got the garbage bags of cereal. Did anybody else get those when they were growing up? You go to open the cupboard and there was this bag that you had to keep from tipping over because it would spill all over the floor, right? There was no box to hold it in. And that's how they save money. Right? We talked about cutting coupons and finding different ways to trim things so that we were responsible stewards. But here we have come full circle to the understanding that the true value of stewardship isn't really about you gaining a lot more money, isn't really about you having a much more comfortable lifestyle. It's about you using the funds that God has put into your life with the ability that he has given you to bring souls into the kingdom by being generous with the things that he's given you. Full circle. Can you see the cycle that God has put before us in stewardship? The difference in this cycle is there's an end to the cycle if you're not faithful in it. Because he who has, the guy that got the 10 talents, the guy that was uber generous and went out there and doubled the 100 times sum, he was given the one that was left over from the guy that screwed up. Because to him who has will be given more. And to him who lacks, he'll lose even that which he has. I'm not just talking about our abilities here. I'm not just talking about the fact that some of you have a gift of healing and you're not using it. I'm not talking about the fact that some of you have the gift of prophecy and you're not using it. I'm talking about the simple fact that God uses money. That's what a talent is. A talent in here is not your ability. A talent is money. And God gives you money according to your ability. You guys see the distinction? And if we don't use it correctly, if we're not good stewards of finances, how can we be good stewards of anything else? Because the fear is going to stop you from giving out the money that God's put in you to give to people, to draw them to Christ. Is fear going to stop you from healing the person that needs to be healed? From giving the word of prophecy? I stood over there. I want you to, I got to confess this. I stood over there and I was praying because I knew God had something cooking up in me. And even right now, I have this knot right here because I hate this sermon. I absolutely despise giving this sermon. Okay? I don't like it. But I was praying over there and God said, "You're the one that's going to give word today." And I said, "Somebody else is better at it." And then I started using Scripture to try and justify a reason not to do it. Did you know that in Scripture it actually tells us not to do the prophecy in tongues if there's a non-believer amongst us? It actually tells us that. So I'm over there with my eyes closed, but I'm looking at every one of your faces going, okay, which one's the non-believer? There's got to be one here. Which one's the non-believer? Because I can't do it if there's a non-believer in the house. And he showed me Dawn's face, and he showed me Jeannie's face, and I'm going, I'm not getting out of this. I see Elaine's face, and thankfully I didn't see Nick's with that expression out of it earlier, but I got it now. And I said, fine. Because I can't get up here and give a sermon like this if I let fear stop me from doing a simple thing like that. And I've told you about how God has given me this push now to just hand out these $20 bills upon people. My wife actually got to watch it for the first time. Was it last week? Are they trying to do the sermon better than me? Because they can have it, because I hate this one. I did a wedding not too long ago, and they handed me a $200 check, and I resisted putting the check in the bank. And I prayed, okay, God, how do you want me to handle this thing? What do you want me to do with this? Does this go towards the bills? I got to be a good steward, which means I have to pay my bills on time and do all these good things. And he was just completely silent. Just completely silent. So I start studying for these things, and it becomes more and more clear. God has said, I've given you ability, and now I've given you $200. What are you going to do with it? You're going to hide it in your pocket? You're going to bury it in your savings account? Or are you going to do what I told you to do and start handing this stuff out? But it wasn't until I got into the scriptures and started reading the severity of stewardship. There are great benefits to being a good steward of God. Awesome benefits of being a good steward of God. There are some great things he'll do. He'll keep the devourer from rotting your stuff up. I wouldn't have had all those car problems. I wouldn't have had all the washing machine problems. Okay, and some of you are going, well, I've got a washing machine problem right now. What does that mean to me? Okay, I've got car issues going on right now. Let me just boldly ask you, were you tithing faithfully? Were you putting the offering out there faithfully? And if that's the case, if all those things are going and the devourer still got to your stuff, I guarantee you this, God's working up a blessing for it. And that could be one of your trials. Are you going to have that faith in God and you need to keep on doing the things you're supposed to be doing so that God can pour out the blessing? Or are you going to let the fiery trial of your faith wane and let the enemy have victory over you? You talked about fiery trials in your testimony this morning. And you persevered, you prayed, you kept coming to church, you kept doing all the right things, you kept asking for prayer. Pastor, things are getting rotten. How many times do we have that conversation? Just this year, just in the last 6 months.
More than I can count.
Yeah. I kind of lost track too, sis.
Yep. Okay. Sorry.
But through it all, perseverance, perseverance, perseverance. Anybody ever read Romans chapter 5? Right? Okay. And through that perseverance, we have victory. Starts a new job tomorrow.
Amen.
Managing her own shop, her own therapy clinic. And when her husband returns, he'll be promoted. Does that not sound like what God does in stewardship? He promotes his people? Now, Alexa, I'm not going to try and make you the all-be example of all the things going on here, because let's face it, we have other things that are still a struggle and you've still got to fix, or not fix, but battle, right? Okay? But the battle is never going to stop. I want to promise you that right now. The battles are never going to stop, because when the battles stop, the opportunity for victory stops. And I have a God that loves to have victory in your lives. Therefore, he's going to let the battles come. Because with every battle comes the opportunity to have a victory. And this guy that was given a talent, he had the opportunity for a victory. And you know what he did? He said, I'm too afraid to fight. I'm too afraid to persevere. I'm too afraid to go through the trial. So I'm not even going to try. I'm going to bury this thing in the dirt. And when the Lord comes, I'm just going to tell him, here I am. I didn't lose anything. You can't get mad at me. I think that's what this guy was trying to infer. What he comes to the master and says, you know, Lord, I knew you were a tough guy. I knew you reap where you didn't sow. I knew all these things about your harsh character, and there was no way I was going to lose your money. So I buried it, and here you are. I lost nothing. Aren't you so proud of me? And the master looked at him and he said, what a jerk. It's jerkos in the Greek, by the way. Oh, come on, that was funny. Jerkos. Fine, don't laugh. That just makes you want to chew you out even more. So here it comes. That knot's gone now, and I really want to yell at you. I'm kidding. Okay. But he says, You have no idea. You knew about my character. You knew about the things that I wanted. And yet, you feared losing more than you feared me. You feared losing the money that I could replace more than you feared me and the job that I gave you to do. That's the bottom line of what happened when the servant came and brought this. Fear over the things of this world outweighed the fear of the Lord. And when we succumb to the things of this world, we become a servant of that world. And therefore, if we are a servant of that world, we are no longer servants of our God. And if we're no longer servants, we cannot be stewards. Because now we serve a new master. Hear me. It's not because he screwed up that he got kicked out. It's because he feared something other than God. And because that fear outweighed his love for God, he couldn't be with the master. Husbands, if your wife were to tell you that she couldn't give all of her love to you because she was afraid that her mom and dad would be mad at her, would that make you feel good about your marriage? I happen to come from a position where I knew that my wife's mother and father did not approve of me. My wife knew that her mother and father didn't approve of me. We announced our engagement, and her mom went into the kitchen and started to weep. True story? But she loved her husband. She loved the man that would be her husband. But didn't stop her from loving her mom and dad. But she said, I'm going to marry him. Even if they don't approve completely. Over time, I won them over. I'm charming, dang it.
Don't believe me. That's
right. And my wife never stopped loving me. She was devoted. And even though it caused a rift, even though it caused some tension in her relationship with the family that loved her from birth, she chose me. Now that's just an earthly comparison. When we're born into this world, we know the world from birth. We know the flesh from birth. We know how to cry, and we know how to hunger, and we know how to thirst, and we know how to satisfy those things at a temporary basis. Because there's a cycle all in itself, isn't it? Hunger, thirst, satisfy, repeat. Right? But if we love our God, we love our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our husband. Make no mistake about it. The church is the bride of Jesus. He is our husband. And we say we're going to love the things that cause us all this stuff when we were growing up, before we knew you. We love all this stuff that has held us back, and we felt supported in it. But we found a new love, and we found Jesus. And we say, no, we're going to love the world more than we love you. We're going to choose to follow after the world's advice. We draw away from our husband. Can that marriage work? Can you see the severity of stewardship? You see the importance of using our money properly, using the funds that God brings to us with the abilities that we have, and not letting fear stop us from putting it out there. I've got $5 left in my pocket. It's got to last me all week, but I see this guy has a hard time. What do I do? Good stewardship says I need to be able to pay my bills, but this heart could be changed to God. So sometimes we try to justify our stewardship and say, I'm not going to give because I have to be a good steward with my finances and pay these things off first. But God says, build my kingdom. You're not going to build his kingdom by stuffing your pockets. You're going to build his kingdom by emptying them. Because that's where the souls are. They're not in your pocket. If you'll bow with me, please. I'm actually working up to tears right now. Because I know some of you are struggling so hard with this concept of stewardship. Some of you are feeling very weak in this field. And some of you are even feeling helpless because I'm not getting anything. How can I give if I can't even receive? Pastor, I don't even have money to tithe on. I'm getting no increase. How can I be that steward? Pastor, we're barely making ends meet. Between the car payment and the house payment and the utilities and the food, my kitty's like a horse. How am I going to do this? I want to talk to you right now about the fear that's going through you right now. That fear does not stand a chance when you stand in the love of your God. And you take that lack of resources before God and you say, okay, God, here it is. This is where I'm at. This is what I've got to work with. You tell me what to do, and I will be faithful, and I will do it. And you watch him work. And you watch him take those two mites that the widow had and build a kingdom. She tossed in her whole life savings, two half pennies. It was a full penny total, is all it was. She had two half pennies to rub together, and she threw them into God's plate. And he built a kingdom. There was a little boy that I heard about not too long ago. He had 13 cents that he had been saving up, and he found a cause. And he took that 13 cents and he turned it into a multi-million dollar operation to feed the hungry. 13 cents. I compel you to pray to your God right now. Lord, tell me, am I fearing the world more than I love you? Am I in that danger of you returning and not finding me ready, not finding me watching? That's what the Luke 12 portion of this sermon was supposed to be, guys. It was supposed to be telling you guys about how the master gave these things to his servants, and he went away and he delayed in his coming, so the servants said, he's not showing up. And they started living for themselves rather than living for the master. When the master showed up, they were in big trouble because they weren't watching. They weren't ready. The verses Alexa read for us, it said, be sober and watchful. So I want you to watch right now. Lord, where is my heart? Am I loving you more than I'm fearing this world? Guide me. Guide me on the money that you have given me, the talents that you have passed out to me, so that I can put those in the proper work and I can build souls in your kingdom, so when you do come back, I can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. The Bible actually tells us that we are kings and priests, and during the millennial reign, we rule and reign with Jesus on the earth. So when you're faithful over the few things, he makes you ruler over many. And then he says this, enter into the joy of your Lord. The reason God compels us to give is not just so that we can save souls, by the way, it's so that you can have a semblance of what he does. He gives and gives and gives, and he enjoys giving. Honestly, giving is one of the closest things to being God that you can do. Not giving grudgingly, not giving out of restraint, but giving of a willing heart, desirous to do good. Desires just simply to be a blessing and not thinking of anything in return. Can you be that Christian today? So with absolutely no hands getting raised today, with nobody pressed to confess anything, I simply want you to take this before the throne of God, and I want you to pray. Tammy. When we're done with this prayer, Tammy's going to put up Stand in Your Love. Nick, if you can get that on the overhead, I'd appreciate that. Heavenly Father, I pray over each and every soul in this room today that calls you Lord. I'm not even going to bother with the whole sinner's prayer and coming to the acceptance of Christ and those things, but those that call you Lord, I pray that you will help them evaluate their heart. Are they serving you? Are they calling you Lord and being faithful in the stewardship? Or are they calling you Lord just to try and get an assurance from the fire? Are they calling you Lord and doing what you tell them to do? And as you help each one evaluate themselves, as you help them to come to grips with who they are in you, I pray that they understand that if they have fallen short, if they've allowed fear to enter in and to draw them away from you, that there is still time to get that corrected. That today they can make that change around and the intent of their heart be known to you, and you will work with them to help them achieve the things that you've given the ability to do. I pray, Father, that you will help them reconcile within themselves and that they will desire to do the work set before them by your throne. Because, Lord, I know that there is no way we can save ourselves. But it is the gift of God. And it's not by our works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. In the image of Christ Jesus, who has preordained our good works. And Lord, I pray that you will help them recognize the good works that you've set before them. And where to put those finances. And how to be good stewards. And how to show your kingdom to those in need. But I thank you for this stewardship series. I really do. And I thank you for giving me the strength to get through this sermon today, because I didn't want to do it. But I pray that it's fruitful to those that are here. I pray that it takes deep root so that people can truly appreciate who you are, what you expect, and that they will take this stewardship very seriously. Lord, in the 1 Peter chapter 4 section, Alexa read out of the Old King James and the New King James, it actually uses the word serious. Be serious and watchful. Lord, let us be serious right now. Let us take this mantle that you've given us, this responsibility, and let us amplify with the abilities that you've also given and do the right work before your throne. I pray each one in here today walks out refreshed and renewed, knowing that they've turned themselves over to you if they've been away, and knowing that they're on the right track if they weren't. One way or another, Father, I pray that each and every one that is here today is edified and driven into your arms rather than driven into this world, so that your kingdom can continue to grow and you can continue to be glorified. I pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, we're going to do one last song. And during the song, if you want to come to the altar and pray, you can do that. You can finish off with a prayer I had in you, or you can simply sing and rejoice that fear can't hold you down, and that God's got this thing if you just let him do it. Are you ready? Everybody on their feet, let's sing out to our God one last time.